Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Never does anything else for me. He's done enough.
Sing, girl.
If the Lord never does anything else for me.
Sing, girl.
Has he been good to you?
Oh, has he been good to you?
God has been good to you. Give him praise in this place. As we stand all over this place, if you have your Bibles, we want to call your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege. Lord, we pray that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are God and that you're God all by yourself. We thank you and we give you the praise. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, there you will find these words, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I thought it would be befitting on this first Sunday, this first day of this new year, to talk about The reset. Amen. The reset. Thank you, ushers. Folk who know me well know that I'm a technology guru. I love technology. And if you are one who has a knack for technology, you know that you can't hardly live with it, and you certainly can't live without it. And I'm sure that many of you, like me, at times get exasperated at technology. Sometimes, you know, when your computer is not operating right or your smartphone is not acting right, what is the best thing to do? What do they tell you to do? If you go to AT&T or Sprint or T-Mobile and you tell them you have, they're going to tell you, well, you probably need to reset it. Amen. When my computer is slow, the best thing to do is turn it off and do a reset. Our streaming has been down. And I called my secretary this morning, and I told her to disconnect the modem in the office because it actually gives signal to the modem back here. And I said, maybe that will fix our problem. Maybe it just needs a reset. Well, one of the things that we need to know as churchgoers, as believers, is that in your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, amen. Do you ever feel like you need a reset? Maybe you're here this morning and you need to recover from an error or adjust to mental overload. Maybe your life or your marriage is all messed up and not working right. If so, I think this morning is just for you. I think what you probably need is a reset. Everybody, and I ought to have a witness here today, everybody needs to reset from time to time. But what I've discovered is that most people don't know how to do a reset with their life. On your phone, it's easy. Amen. On your computer, you just turn it off or unplug it. But how do you reset your life? In this room this morning, I would venture to say that there are people present who have tasted the pain of divorce. There are people present who are in seemingly dead or dying marriages. People who've made bad parenting choices. People who have been immoral or addicted or bitter or all of the above. How do you reset your life? How do you reset a relationship? How do you reset a marriage, a family? Well, I want to let you know this morning that I've got four steps that I think that if you will apply these to your living, they will help you to reset your life. I love and I thank God for the new year. Amen. Amen. Because I learned a big word from my friend, my cousin, Pastor Greg Oliver. One time he was here preaching a revival, and he introduced us to a Greek word, tabula rasa. And he said that the word tabula rasa means to wipe the slate clean. And if you don't realize that this new day, this new year gives you an opportunity to wipe the slate clean, then you're missing it. Is there anybody here who's thankful that we serve a God of another chance? Amen. A God, you know you messed up last year. You know you messed up yesterday. But the fact that God woke you up this morning suggests that he hasn't given up on you. He hasn't thrown the towel in on you. He is giving you another chance. And I think this is a good spot to give him praise for another chance. If you want to reset your life, four things you can do. Number one, you need to accept your failures. No such thing as a perfect person. No such thing as a perfect marriage. No such thing as a perfect family. As a matter of fact, there's no such thing as a perfect church. Our pastor, my pastor, Reverend Harrison, used to tell us, he said, if you find a perfect church, don't you go there because you'll be the one to mess it up. Do I have a witness today? Now, I know that this seems obvious to most of us, but we cannot move to the rest of these steps if we don't get this one straight. We are imperfect. I think I may have burst somebody's bubble right there because you thought you had it all together. Let me back up, rewind, and say it again. We are, and let me put another word in there, we are all imperfect. And guess what? Imperfect people mess up. Imperfect people make mistakes. Imperfect people fail sometimes. Every pastor, every counselor, every wise person knows that until a person honestly assesses and accepts their personal responsibility and failure, they cannot move forward. The Bible sets it in perfect context, and I know I'm in Bible country because the Apostle Paul said this. He said, for all have sinned. And Reverend Harrison used to say, it didn't say for y'all have sinned. It said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. That word sin or sin means to miss the mark. Before gunpowder was invented, if folk wanted to have a war, if they went out into battle, before they had guns and all of that, all they had were bow and arrows. That was the primary instrument that they would use to fight. But let me tell you, the best marksman can't hit a bullseye every time. If the distance is too far, if the wind is too strong, amen, they were going to miss. That was guaranteed. Now, spiritually speaking, you need to understand that our target is not 50 yards. Our target is not a mile off. The target that we have to hit is an infinite distance because the distance between God's moral perfection and our moral imperfection is infinity. And what does that tell me? Well, it tells me that we can never hit perfection. I don't care how many Bible scriptures you can quote. I don't care how many books of the Bible you've read. I don't care how much you come to church and Sunday school. There is not a one person in here from the pulpit to the pew who is able to be perfect in this flesh. But do y'all know that not only do we miss the mark with God, we also miss the mark with other people. I've got a little 9mm. Amen. I'm not gonna tell you where it is, but it's got a sight on it, and if I line that sight on my 9mm, if I line it properly with the target, I should be able to hit it. But I would venture to say that not a one of you in here would let Pastor put an apple on your head, and from where I'm standing, amen. Say, yeah. Oh, with the help of God. I'm going, amen, because you already know there's a good chance, especially if you've ever watched me try to drink water up here, y'all know I'm going to hit something, but it probably won't be the apple. I'm going to miss the mark. And guess what? Somebody's going to get hurt. And you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that whenever we miss the mark, somebody gets hurt. Do I have a witness today? Do you know why your life is empty? It's empty because somebody missed the mark. Do you know why your marriage has failed? It's because somebody missed the mark. Do you know why your family is struggling? It's because somebody missed the mark. Now, if you are the one who missed the mark, you need to accept that. Own up to the responsibility. That's the first step to a reset. You cannot reset unless you're able to accept responsibility for your own faults and failures. And I just told you, we all got some. So somebody help me by saying amen, Pastor. If you want to reset, you've got to accept the responsibility for your own failures. But then secondly, you've got to be willing to receive God's grace. His glorious grace regenerates what is dead or broken. If you know your Bible, you know Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." Y'all, we cannot afford to have a narrow, limited view of God's grace and the salvation that it brings. Since we missed the mark, the only way to eternal salvation is by the unmerited favor of God. That's what grace is, unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, but there ought to be one or two folk in here who understand that why I worship him the way I do and why I praise him the way I do is because he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God's grace. And we need to understand that God's grace is not only displayed at the moment of salvation. Come on. Amen. Thank God for the grace that saves us. But there's another kind of grace that we ought to rejoice about. It is the grace that keeps us. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad that that grace saved me. But can I tell y'all that in 2020, in 2021, in 2022, I've been struggling. Yes, I'm your pastor, I'm your counselor, but I needed some counseling. Amen. Amen. I'm steeped in the word. I know God. I've got the Holy Ghost in my life, but there have been moments over these past few years where I've struggled, where I've been down, where I've been depressed. Folk have been coming to me saying, "Pastor, I need help. I need to talk. I need counseling." And I've looked at some of them. I didn't say it, but I wanted to say I need some counseling too. But I'm here this morning because the same grace that saved me has been keeping me. Is there anybody that can thank God for grace? Grace restores us along the way. You see, salvation has a beginning point. That's when you place your faith and trust in Christ alone and his redemptive work on the cross. That can happen when you're 8. That can happen when you're 80. Amen. Amen. Now, before you get saved, you're heading in the wrong direction. Before you accept Christ as your Savior, you're heading to an eternity away from God. But after you get saved, you're no longer heading away from God. You're heading towards God, with God, for an eternity. And all along the way, God is redeeming us. He's transforming us. He's regenerating us. Amen. And he does it all through amazing grace. So what do you need to overcome your addiction? You need God's grace. Yes, sir. What do you need to overcome your guilt and shame from stuff you've done? You need God's grace. What do you need to fall in love with your spouse again and to see your marriage become alive and vibrant again? If that's God's will, you need God's grace. God's grace in the life of the believer is the desire and the power to do his will. See, you may be thinking, "Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how poor a parent I've been. You don't know how far I've wandered off from the word. You don't know how dead our marriage is. You don't know how many times I keep messing up in the same area and keep asking God to forgive me over and over again." Well,
My brother, my sister, let me share another powerful promise from God's word in Romans 5 and 20. The word says, where sin abounded. I got to use a Garner translation right here. Grace superabounded. I said, where sin abounded, grace superabounded. Oh my, oh my. Isn't that awesome, my brothers and sisters, as a genuine follower of Christ, no matter how far off I miss the mark, no matter how many times I miss the mark, God's grace is greater than my sin. No matter how dark, no matter how dead, the nature of the grace of God is that it regenerates what is dead, it regenerates what is dying. And so if you want to reset your life, number one, accept your failures. But then receive God's grace. Yeah. Number three, you've got to tell your neighbor, you've got to cooperate with God's purpose. Yes, Lord. You see, my brothers and sisters, God wants to turn your dark failures into bright futures. Yes, Lord. That's the gospel message. That's the gospel message. This is the good news, you see, because God looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. He takes our messiest failures, and I don't know how he does it. I'm not smart enough to explain it. I just have watched him do it in my own life. He takes your worst mess and miraculously turns it into a blessing. I wish I had one or two people who could look back over your life and stuff you thought that would destroy you, stuff that you thought, amen, you would never recover from, stuff you thought you would never bounce back from. You're sitting in Pleasant Hill this morning as a living witness of what God's grace is able to do. Then don't you sit there and mean mug. Don't you sit there and act like you had it all together. Don't you sit there and act like you never messed up to the point where you could have been in jail. You could have been dead. You could have been sleeping in. But he looked beyond your faults and miraculously brought you through. He brought you out. Give him praise in this place. The Bible sets this in perfect context with our passage that we're preaching from this morning. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. You see, a lot of folk quote this verse, and I think that most of the time they don't really understand what God is saying. Can I break it down for you, what he's really saying? Amen. God is saying, in essence, I will make all things new. Isn't it amazing that the sovereign God makes an offer to us? Do you know he doesn't have to? But he does. Here it is. He says, I will weave the dark threads of your past with the bright threads of my love and make your life a beautiful tapestry. Now, if you don't know what a tapestry is, I remember once I like vacationing in the Caribbean islands. I like it down there. And on this one island, and I think they do it on almost all of them, they have these street vendors. And they have art and they have food and all kinds of stuff. This one lady, she had done some rugs. And I asked, how much is the rug? And when she told me, I said, for that? And she said, well, you're looking at the backside of it. She said, let me turn it over and you can see what it is. And when she turned it over, what she told me it cost, it seemed like it was worth so much more. And my brothers and sisters, you see, on the backside, all I could see was dark thread. I could see ugly weaving. Amen. But when she turned it over, all that stuff that looked dark, that looked ugly, that looked bad was a beautiful tapestry. And I've come by to tell you this morning, that's what God will do with your life. Yes, you've messed up in your past. Yes, you've had some dark days. Yes, you've been in the valley sometimes. But look at me now. Look at how God has weaved together all of my mistakes, all of my problems, all of my pains, all of my heartaches. Every time somebody has lied, every time somebody has talked, God has taken it and put it all together and worked it for my good. And you expect me to come in here on this first Sunday in 2023 and not give him praise? Something is wrong with you. The devil thought he had me. The devil sent COVID. The devil sent Trump. The devil sent this and that to try to get me to give up, to throw in the towel. But thank God for amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I close by telling you this morning that if you want to reset your life, you've got to make sure you place your hope in God. Is there anybody here who understands that when you place your hope in God, no matter how it looks, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how bad it seems, when you trust in God, he may not come when you want him to come. But is there a witness who will testify that he will show up on time? Give him praise. Give him a first Sunday praise. Give him a New Year praise. Give him a thank you praise. I'm resetting my life. Devil, you thought I was gonna give up. Devil, you thought I was gonna give in. But I'm not gonna give up, and I'm not gonna give in. I'm gonna hit the reset button because God has given me another chance. Thank him for another chance. Thank him for another opportunity. Thank him for waking you up this morning. Do y'all know that there were some folk who were at a party? They were at a Christmas Eve party talking about we're gonna watch the new year come in. But I guarantee you, somebody did not make it to 12 a.m. on this new day. But since you made it, you ought to let God know that you're thankful. You ought to let God know that you're grateful. You ought to let God know that you appreciate him keeping you. You ought to let God know that he is worthy. I said, he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. How are you gonna praise him? David said, you ought to praise him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Ain't he all right? 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 Tell him thank you. Tell God thank you. Hit the reset button. Hit the reset button. Hit the reset button. Y'all gotta forgive me, but I'm thinking about the young man from the Ellen DeGeneres show. They called him Twitch. And by just looking at his life from the outside, you would have thought he had it all together. Plenty of money, got a family and kids, and got a nice house, and got a good reputation. But he didn't see this new year because he gave up. And if you just think about the folk you encounter on a daily basis, if we would tell them about the power of God, if we would tell them about a Savior named Jesus, there are some folk on your job who want to give up and want to give in. There are some folk sitting in Pleasant Hill this morning who thought about giving up